Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet. And Kix is not here today, so we're going to just jump in with our guests. We are joined by one third of the Smith Sisters Live on Radio Andy. It is Mariah Smith, not Lauren or Rachel. We have Mariah here today. And she's a writer, a comedian. Check her out on Radio Andy. You can follow her at Mariah, Mariah, Mariah on IG and Mariah on Twitter. And we are so excited to have her today. Mariah, hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course. We are doing the pretend that we never did this because we did have a brief tech. Oh my, now my dog's barking in the background.
Oh my God. I completely understand. I have a dog and I'm staring at him right now and just waiting for him to bark because sometimes he gets a bark in his spirit and it doesn't go away.
Absolutely. That's what's happening behind me right now. No, does your dog, like my dog, despises recording time. Like he despises it. Like he just sits, like, because I'll shut the door, he sits in the corner of my room and he just stares like like full dead eyes, just like, this motherfucker.
I mean, and my dog knows when I end a Zoom call because, like, I'm trying not to say any trigger words, because the minute I end it, the minute I say BYE, yeah, he is
like,
right, on one. He's like time. Finally.
Yeah. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a mini poodle.
Oh, cute. I have like a little lab mix guy.
Oh,
yeah. He's
lucky. I adopted him and I am allergic to dogs. So I was like, I need hypoallergenic. I still am allergic to my dog, but it's not as bad.
I know. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet because like the unconditional love is like worth the
it's so
seasoning.
Worth it.
Oh, what's your dog's name?
Sprinkles.
Oh,
what's so your cute dog's name?
His name is Russell. Very, oh, very regal. So when I got him from a shelter, and his name given to him by someone was Raz, R-A-Z-Z. I'm like, that is an awful name.
Yeah, that's an interesting
What would become a 50-pound lab mix, like Raz?
Yeah, no.
That's like a name of like a little Pomeranian or something. So we were trying to think of something that was like similar to Raz. So Russ was like,
perfect.
Just in case he like had any recognition of his name, which he probably didn't. But. Well, welcome to Dumpster Dive. We're so happy to have you here today, Mariah, where we just dive into all things garbage about our reality TV taste.
I love it.
And before we chat about what's on Bravo right now and what's on our reality, you know, TV cues right now, we like to check in and just see about your journey with reality television and when, what reality show, what character on a reality show made you a quote unquote dumpster diva, a trash person like us here. Take it away.
Oh God, that is a great question. And one that I hope I can remember exactly. Actually, you know what? I know the answer. It was MTV.
Uh-huh.
I am of the era of Real World.
Yep.
So I believe watching, when I was super young, watching like Real World Hawaii with Ruthie and Tech, mm-hmm, or New York or Chicago with Coral and Anissa, like stuff like that. Even the Road Rules kids.
Yep.
I remember being so just obsessed with the fact that these people were allowing cameras to film their every action and they were creating stories and drama that I was obsessed with.
Yeah.
And so that sort of fed into my enjoyment of, I remember before I really got into Bravo, I was like sick or something. And I watched 3 or 4 seasons of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And mm-hmm, I was so just enamored with Nene and Kim.
They're the best.
Was just like, these are simply icons. And it was just so, it was like something that I couldn't stop doing. And mm-hmm, then I ended up working in sort of the reality sphere. I worked at Watch What Happens Live. And I just, it became my job. And then of course I started a column called Keeping Up with the Continuity Errors when I was working as a production assistant on Best Week Ever right out of college. And I started it as a joke, and I was just like, I was assigned the Kardashians, and I had watched the show obviously, But it was sort of around then where I really was like, this is one of the world's greatest forms of entertainment.
It really is. I mean, and yeah, it's what early Atlanta is so reminiscent to me of, like how I feel about like Karen Huger in this world, where it's like,
yes.
It's crazy to me that we haven't had cameras on Kim and Nene forever. Imagine like what they were doing just like on a random Tuesday afternoon in 2005. Like when the cameras weren't up, like they probably were doing the exact same shit. Like it's like
the exact same thing. And I'm here to tell you, like, one of the best parts about working at Watch What Happens Live is seeing the housewives and like the Bravo Lebs come in, because the thing Bravo does better than any other network or TV show franchise is the people they cast are 100% themselves on and off screen. So every time someone came through the clubhouse, you always got what you saw on TV. Sonia is always going to be Sonia, no matter what environment she's in, no matter if there are cameras on her or not. So it is a really it's something that's so unique to Bravo and the way that they're able to pluck these people so beautifully out of obscurity and know the correct recipes for cast to make them perfect.
Yeah. We had John Hill on last week or the week prior, and we were chatting.
Love John.
Yeah, he's the best. And
yes.
We were just chatting about fun, like Watch What Happens Live stories. And he was telling me he was like, everyone asked me this, but like, I can never think of like a good answer to like what dramatic happened. And he was saying that the drunkest person he ever saw was Kristen Doughty, and then, or Doughty, however you say your name. And then he also said the craziest drink order he ever had was Nancy Grace asked for a glass of milk with ice in it. But do you have any to add to that? Drunkest, craziest drink order, craziest backstage banter?
I probably will say one thing that stands out is it was a show, and I forget who the other guest was, but the one standout guest was, actually, she wasn't even a guest. She was a doorbell, Sonia Morgan. And my dad was with me, and I think it was his first time coming to the show live. He doesn't watch Bravo, but enjoys, like, you know, he is was very much into entertainment.
Yeah.
But he was like, this woman is fascinating.
Yeah.
And then after the show, it was someone's birthday. So we were all like got together, and Sonia came in and sang a happy birthday to the staff member and was just telling stories for maybe 2 hours.
Oh, it was, that sounds so sweet.
Remarkable. And it was just like, she was on level 10 in the best way. But it was, again, no cameras, no one out. Like, it was just Sonia being Sonia, and that's how it was going to be. And my dad was so fascinated, he started watching Bravo.
Oh my God, it got him hooked.
And he ended up, his favorite show ended up being Potomac, but it was such a like charming moment where I'm like, this is who this woman is. So that's probably high on the list. But there was just, oh my God, there were just so many amazing moments. Like, I was there for Lala and DJ James Kennedy's first appearance, where they were so drunk
and they were like cursing so much,
like cursing the whole show. You know, when we would do like just anytime like Mariah Carey would come through, iconic.
I can't believe you've shared like such a small space with Mariah. I mean, I'm so deeply in the Lamely, so that's huge.
She's amazing, truly amazing.
I have a fun Mariah story. So I saw her in concert at the Beacon because she does those holiday concerts.
The Christmas concert,
And she, of course, showed up 3 hours late.
100%.
I'm not being hyperbolic. Like, literally 3 hours. Like, we were like, everyone was wasted because we just kept going back to the bar and like getting drinks and just because the gays there were like, we're not leaving. Like,
there's no way.
No, like at this point, like, we're here for the story.
Yeah.
So she comes out and she sings, she opens the show with Silent Night, and she has like all these children, like, just like sitting in a little semicircle around her. And she's in this tight, tight dress. And she, like, she's beautiful I just, something about Mariah, I'm always like, I wish she would just embrace like her shape more sometimes, because I feel like she like, she just saran wraps herself into these like gowns that she truly cannot walk in. And she's literally beautiful. I'm like right? rock something different, like, or just like find something that fits right. The reason I bring this up is she's standing there and the dress was like so tight that like it, her, a full tit was like slowly like coming out.
Busting out.
And then it became out. Like, she had a pasty on, but, like, tit was out. Like, the dress had separated, and she's singing Silent Night to all these little children.
All these kids! Oh, my God!
And we were all like, yeah. check your tit, Mariah.
Oh, my God.
Not you, Mariah.
That
obviously.
Is so on brand, though.
I know. It really, I'm like, oh, we're here. Like, this is exactly what I've paid money for. I paid to come 3 hours late, for her to get here 3 hours late, and then for also her breasts to fall.
It was an experience. It was more than a show.
Way more than a show. Well, I want to go back to your answer, though, of the question a little bit. So we talk about this in the pod a lot. My sister and I, we did not grow up watching Real World because we weren't allowed to watch MTV.
Wow.
Which feels like a hate crime against me at this point. But, so I have a blind spot, but I through binging a lot of old seasons of The Challenge, I've gotten to know a lot of the characters.
That's right. Yeah.
And I got to know the Real World Hawaii people. What's their names again? Tech and
Ruthie.
Ruthie, because they were on this most recent season of
All
Stars, which I really loved. Did you watch that?
Oh my God. I absolutely loved it because I had sort of fallen off of The Challenge in the past few years, but I was like, okay, All Stars, I definitely have to get back in because there were faces that we hadn't seen on the show and what felt like a decade. But also, just on the first episode, when the medics were called, because you have all these 40 plus people trying to compete and do these things that even the most fit endurance trained people couldn't do in their 20s,
right?
And they were almost drowning, they were being washed up ashore, and I was like, this is again quality television, because you're throwing these people into something that is, I would say, 100% unsafe, and we're getting the outcomes of it, and I loved it.
I mean, that first challenge was hilarious. I mean, they were like, none of them were like, like, back in our days, we just like lightly wrestled in mud, and like, now we're like swimming out like half a mile into the middle of this like freezing cold lake. It's like, yeah, well, welcome. And then Anissa's there and she's like, y'all, I've been doing every season since, y'all have been doing none. I stopped watching the current season that was airing. I just can't get into all the after they started bringing in the UK people, it got hard for me.
I will say, I am the only way to put it is a Love Island super fan.
Okay.
And I liked that they were bringing some Love Islanders to the game, but it didn't satisfy my Love Island appetite in the way I thought it would.
Right.
So it's a little disappointing, but I'm happy to see that there's some overlap, but I find it hard to be entertained by the newer challenges.
Yeah, because you want people that like, and obviously I like that they should always reintroduce new people, I think, but there's something about it that just doesn't like feel like they had someone from, did you watch the god awful show 12 Dates of Christmas on HBO Max?
No.
Okay, so it came out last year. Highly encourage you watch it. It's a mess, and they're doing a second season. They put three they had like a straight guy, a gay guy, and a straight woman in this mansion in Austria in like winter time, and it's decorated for Christmas, and they have like all these people come to the house and they just like date people. If you love Love Island, you would be obsessed with it.
I will be watching that tonight.
But they had one of the like rejected men who like the gay guy wouldn't date on the challenge. And like the fact that his chyron says like, I don't remember his name, but just Joe. And underneath it says 12 Dates of Christmas. Like, how mortifying for him. Like,
my God.
But it's like,
they really are finding anyone to put on this program.
I know. I'm like, what won't fuel and like funnel into the challenge at this point?
Yeah.
It's like so ridiculous. But that's why I really love the old seasons as well as the All-Stars. And they have a new All-Star season. It's, I think, starting this week or next. Which I'm very excited about. Are you watching, did you watch Homecoming, Real World Homecoming on Paramount Plus?
I watched the first few episodes and I have to keep going. I have a weird thing where if I'm like really invested or fascinated by something, I have to take a step back because I get overwhelmed. Yeah. I'm like, this is too cool. And that's sort of how I feel about Homecoming because I did a podcast called Spectacle where we focused on the Real World for an episode and I watched the first season because I had never seen it. And it was like, it blew my mind. So to see them all together so closely after I watched the first season was like overwhelming.
It was amazing. We covered it on our Patreon and we watched the first season and then watched this because we also had not seen it. And like the way reality television has evolved and the way these people are the same, like they're just the same. Like there's not the only person that had changed so much on it was Julie, really. For the better.
And everyone else was like, no time had passed.
No time. And what's her name? Susan? Is that her name?
Becky.
I'm like Karen, Susan, Becky.
I heard, like she.
Oh, you didn't probably get to the part that happened.
But I heard it all.
It's a mess. But they're doing, what's the one that, I think it just started. They're doing a new season of Homecoming, I think with Real World, the Tammy Roman season, and Beth.
I think it's New LA. York. Is it New York? I'm trying to, because I know there are other seasons coming out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't remember what's current.
No, yeah, there's one starting to air that started, I think, last week. What is Tammy Roman's first season of, like, reality TV? I think it's Real World LA, is it?
Is it LA?
Maybe. I'm not sure. But
I can't remember.
But they're doing that. And it's fun to see Tammy on the screen.
Yeah.
Because she always makes it worth it. Let's jump to Bravo a little bit. So. Yes. What Bravo are you consuming currently? Where do you draw the line on Bravo? I won't tell Andy and he'll absolutely never hear this.
So. Tell him anything. I was actually watching Bravo last night and thinking about, I was like, so much of what I watch on TV is on this channel. So it's really overwhelming at times because I'm like, I never thought I'd be this person. But I at the moment I'm doing Potomac, Salt Lake, Vanderpump Rules, Winter House, and I think that's it. But I'm gonna start up Below Deck.
So I am doing pretty much everything you're doing. VPR, I'm like struggling to get through. Like it's a start and stop on every episode for me.
I have a very soft spot for that show in my heart. Like I firmly believe it's one of the greatest reality shows that there has ever been, no matter the unsteadiness of the past couple of seasons. But I will watch that come hook or crook, no matter what.
I mean, they're just so watchable. I think what I just miss, though, is like, I do miss the rest of the gang there.
And Me too.
For those listening, that doesn't mean I like them, okay? Let's all clarify. Yeah. It's like, everyone gets so, like, intense with their thoughts about all these people, especially on Bravo these days, right? Where it's like, I don't like them, but like we can't deny that their involvement.
Good TV.
Yeah. These are the sirens or the fans coming to get me for saying I miss.
I know, right? They heard.
Wouldn't feel that way if Ramona was gone because I think she needs to get the fuck out of television because she's a true
there
monster.
Are some people who I feel are like dark-souled, evil, mean-spirited people, no matter their, on Bravo, that no matter their politics or their sort of history with the show, and I think Ramona falls into that category.
Absolutely.
And I think that Candace from Potomac falls into that category. Like,
okay, interesting.
She is just a mean person. Yeah. Like, her insults are clever. They're just petty insults that aren't witty or fun. And the thing that, like, Giselle and Karen do well is they can make their jabs funny, but not cut below the belt. Candace has no line. So I think that there's an issue, and sometimes it's fun to watch. Other times it's just, like, shocking. But I think, like you're saying, there is part of the fun of Bravo is all of these different personalities and all of these different types of people who we may not agree with, but we can watch them grow, we can watch them learn, we can watch them, you know, figure stuff out, which is why it's so frustrating, because Ramona has seemed to, like, just stop growing and learning. And so that's why someone like her might need to go.
Yeah, she just has, she's not willing to, like, yeah, she just isn't willing, that's it. I mean, she's not willing to evolve with the show.
Right, right,
all these
right.
shows have evolved because that's just how the world works, you know?
And that's, like, how it should go.
Yeah, like, VPR has, in itself, has evolved, and, like, it makes us sad because it's not, like, what it used to be. But the problem, the thing is, it would have never been like it was because, like, people have money now. Like, a big player in that show is money. Like, they didn't have money, so, like, they were willing to do absolutely anything to make good television. And I don't even think they thought, I'm sure that some of them think through that more than others, but, like, but, like, the synergy there just worked, and things evolved, and it's just going to be different. And, like, Roni has to evolve, and, like, it just has to change. It's not the Real Housewives of Upper East Side can be a show if you want to make that a show, you know.
But, like, we can have two separate New Yorks.
And let's do it. I'm down. They don't go anywhere outside of the Upper East Side. They wouldn't run into each other on the street.
Like,
there's a whole other show in Brooklyn. Like, there's a whole other show in even the fucking West Village and Lower East Side. It's like there's another show in Harlem. There's another show in the Bronx. It's like, why not just, like, add? I think the answer would just be to add more programming than
change,
because. I mean, did you finish this past season of Roni?
I did not.
Yeah.
I couldn't. So a couple of things. So first, I was watching, and then not to, like, bring the room down, but my dad died, so I was behind on TV.
I'm so sorry.
Then thank you, but I when I, like, got back to sort of, like, needing to get my mind off stuff, I dove feet first into Beverly Hills, which I always watch, and I was like, okay, this is television
working.
Right here.
Yeah.
This is award-winning television.
Oh, absolutely.
When I was watching New York, I was just not having a good time like I used to, and I'm like, I have to put this on the back burner because it's just not giving the joy it should.
No, not at all.
I was, like, following what was going on, and every time I was going to pick up the remote to turn it on, I'd see something on Twitter or Instagram being like, Ramona said this, she said, I was like, I can't be a party to that.
No. And, like, to learn, I think a dark side of Bravo that kind of happened in the past couple weeks is that, like, Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, which I still can't get over that being the actual worst name for a show, and the abbreviation of RHUGT. It looks like
someone's, like,
curse,
like,
word
trying
that you, like,
spell out the sound you make when you throw up.
Yeah, I'm like, rooked. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's bizarre. But the fact that, and I think the fans, like, are struggling to get over this. I'm sure, I know I'll still watch it, but to think that she was cast on that, right, after they had filed apparently all these race reports against her, like, those reports against her filed by production and Ebony that have come out were filed while they were filming the show. So, like, so the fact that she was then cast on this other show and
is remarkable.
And they released the first 5 minutes of Girls Trip today, and I watched it, like, right before we got on, and
I haven't seen it yet.
It's fine. It's really cute. They play like the intro music of every city as they like intro the wives. It's like actually really cute. Like,
okay,
like they're
watch.
Like introducing everyone and they're all like on FaceTime with another wife. And every time they cut to a new city, it says like Atlanta and it plays the Atlanta theme. It's actually really cute. But what I will say though, is like the first 2 seconds of the fucking show is Ramona being like, I'm not so sure about these Atlanta girls.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. And like Luann's like, well, Cynthia was at my wedding. I love her. And then Kenya is great. Like, what do you want to like? Kenya's messy, just like you. They're like talking about the shows too, which is kind of like they're kind of meta about it, which is kind of interesting.
Wow.
But to hear her like say just like, and she doesn't say that exactly, but she's just like, I don't know those girls, and I like don't know anything about them. I don't, and I'm, and she says something about being scared of Kenya, and it's like,
nope,
absolutely not. So it's just, Ramona's never going to change her racist spots, no matter how many times we like cast her. I hope this is her swan song, because I think that what needs to happen in New York is a full like restart button.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because
a full shake up.
Because even if they bring back like some of the girls, and introduce more diversity on the show, they're going to reference Ebony. And like, that's not, I don't find that to be very fair to her, like whether she's involved or not on the new season. So like, I would rather it just be like a full restart button and
oh
like,
oh my God, you're so right. Yeah.
Make it better, because no one wants to relive last season again in which is a part of the reason I was happy they didn't have a reunion. I'm like, no one wants to talk about this anymore.
Right. And, right. Let's just pretend it never happened.
Right. And we can't pretend that racism never happened.
Never
honestly.
Happened. But like,
And like Ebony deserved to have a chance to be on a stage. So I'm not saying that shouldn't have all happened. It's just like, now that it's over, it's like, I don't know what that would have been like. And if it would have, and if it would have been entertaining in any way.
Exactly. So. Or productive.
Absolutely. It would have not been productive, of course. Like, I know it wouldn't have had any sort of resolution, but do you think Ebony will come back? Or do you think she's going to try and do this, like, panel show thing, you know? Because getting a spot on The View is huge.
Like, I feel like she could easily get that spot on The View, and, like, that would be... all this would have been well worth it.
Yeah.
But I think it would look bad. It would have to be abundantly clear that it wasn't her. It was her choice not to return. Like, it would have to be so explicit that there would left no room for interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I I'm not sure. Like, I think it's just, I would love to see her back, but also like, we can, I think, just move on as well, and it not be. But it does need to be something that she decides on her own. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm like kind of low key getting excited for OC, because like, I used to just absolutely love like old school like Heather Dubrow OC, like her first season on Vicky's Madness, all that stuff. Andy said on Watch What Happens Live last week that he's like, OC is back. And it's like, he said that a lot of times about things that weren't necessarily true. But like, are you an OC viewer? I did not watch last season, but like, I think I'm going to jump back into this. Where are you at?
I have never really been an OC girl, but I like enjoy Shannon Bedore and Heather. And like, I like to keep up, but I think I'm going to watch this season because I do really like Heather. Yeah. And every season I've watched of OC that I've loved, Heather has been a part of it. So I'm like, I think this is the time for me to really, really understand that city.
She's not like, the thing that's funny about Heather is like, she's not like fun, and she's not necessarily anyone that we would probably want to be friends with, but she just makes her really like, great TV, because she doesn't fit in OC.
It's great.
like she has like three times as much money as anyone on the show.
I feel like during early pandemic days, I watched her house tour. Like, the there's probably 10 or 15 videos of her house tour because it's that big.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it took me almost a week to get through. And I'm like, this is... she's just filthy rich. Like, there's no two ways about it.
Like, if the house feels so big that there, it makes me wonder if there's like financial problems. Like, it feels like fully like House of Queen of Versailles. Like, it feels like that. Yeah. You know that doc?
Yeah, loved that doc.
So good. That was so annoying when I just said, you know that doc? That was gross. Maybe we'll cut that out.
Oh, my God.
Wait, so you're watching Winter House, though?
Yes.
I'm having a good time. I can watch them do anything. I can like smell the house through the screen.
Oh my God. I always like, and I don't know why I still get shocked, but the amount of alcohol they consume from morning till night is, I don't know whether to be impressed or concerned, because it is, you know, they're not disposing of their trash properly. You know, there's food crumbs everywhere. You know, they're all wasted and they smell of alcohol.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what must it be like to be a part of this IRL?
I cannot imagine. Like I've been away with friends for like a couple days where it's like a full bender. And like the third day you're like, we gotta go. Like,
yes!
We need to get out of this Airbnb before our breath lights it on fire. Like, we got to get out of here. So the fact that they're there for like 15 days, I'm like, my liver would fall out of my ass. I'm like,
and it's a nonstop party.
And that, like, when you watch it weekly, you're like, oh my God, another party, how fun. And then, but then you think about like the fact that they're just doing that over and over again. And none of them seem to really get hung over.
No. And like, they don't look puffy. They don't look, or for the most part, they don't look like disoriented. It's just, they're tanks.
I know. And a lot of them, I don't even, besides Lindsay, I don't think a lot of them have much work done.
No.
Like,
no.
And that's not no shade towards Lindsay. She just obviously has some work done.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, Kyle's forehead is like taut. I'm like, how do you have no fucking wrinkles? You're 40 years old.
Exactly. And you don't,
he doesn't sleep because he drinks until 3 a.m. and then work calls at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm like, and maybe it's because, Mariah, you and I don't have that like finance bro upbringing. Like, I feel like
that's
a culture that like they really train you for.
Yeah, it's like you're ready to run an alcohol marathon every day.
Every day. Like, you're working from like 6 to 8, and then you're partying from 9 to midnight, and you do it all over again.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me. Especially not in my 30s. I'm like, in my 30s, I'm like, if I am up later than midnight, like, the next day's ruined. I'm like,
It's rough.
But, like, everything's ruined. I'm like, I'm not working out. I'm also certainly not eating well. Like, I'm ordering pizza. Like, it's like everything's fucked. And like,
oh my God.
It's just what it is. And their bodies are like, forget their faces. Everyone is like ripped except for Austin.
Ripped. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know how they're getting away with this.
No.
And drinking those lover boys with God knows what in them. I'm like, I just don't know.
Have you had them before?
I haven't. I'm eager to, I think I'm going to try it in the coming weeks. But I don't really like hard seltzers.
Yeah, I don't either.
I've seen people post about the Loverboy espresso martinis. And I'm like, I don't know if I want an espresso martini regularly, let alone in a can. So I don't know.
So I'll deliver my review. So I have tried most of the products. I have not tried... they have like a wine spritzer that I've not tried, but I've heard that is very, 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 very sweet. And I really, I'm not a big sweet, like cocktail person. They have like a hibiscus tea that, give me a rash. It did give me a rash on an IG live once. I was like on IG live and I was like, is it hot?
Oh my God.
And I like
God.
Look on the screen and I'm like, my chest is like so red and my like under my eyes are so red. I'm like, okay, I'm going to move to something else. They do have a peach tea though that is really good that I did like and did not get a rash from.
That's wonderful.
The espresso martini, my boyfriend loves espresso martinis and ordered like a case of them, and he did not like them. And so he was like, do you want them? And I'm like, well, absolutely. I love espresso martinis. And surprisingly delicious and not too sweet.
Okay.
And it's kind of fun to drink in a can. It feels like you're having a little cold brew.
I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It just wouldn't be me.
And they have Christmas ones now. They have like a peppermint espresso martini and then like a gingerbread, I think, or something like that. That's going too far for me. But
yeah.
No, I would like, if someone has some, like, just have a sip. I went to a bachelorette party in Maryland, in Ocean City, Maryland, which I'm not even ready to go into that in itself, but this summer. And I get there and everyone had to like bring like a bottle of something like to contribute to the Airbnb. And one of the moms had a case of Loverboy. And I'm like, oh my God, like, do you watch Summer House? And she's like, what's that? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I was like, well, that's from Summer House. And she was like, I just love my Loverboy iced teas. And I'm like, I didn't think there were like really organic, like Loverboy subscribers who didn't know what it was, like in terms of reality television. I was like, oh wow, they've really made it. If this that's random impressive. Mom, yeah, like I feel like I should tell Kyle and Carl, I'm like, y'all, like there are people that don't know you that buy this.
That's really impressive.
I agree. I thought that was a huge business moment for them.
Wow. I'm proud of them. Go off.
I am proud of them, actually, though. And I know you are, too. I'm just saying, like, it is kind of like they when they first started it, it was kind of like, who cares? And then it really is a thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good on them. A couple more Bravo things. What is like a old Bravo show that you feel like no one gave its due?
Oh, wow. I think I would have to say Gallery Girls.
A classic.
I got into that late. But also, like, NYC Prep was great. But
so good.
Gallery Girls really was so chaotic. Mm-hmm. And it would have been a pleasure and a privilege to see that through for a few seasons to see where those ladies ended up.
Yeah, I totally agree. There was a couple that was like in the era of like Princesses Long Island, NYC Prep, all those. Yes. It was like a 5-year span where there was just all these shows that just got one seasons. It was like a bizarre programming time for me because I was like, all these things worked and you didn't like keep them going. I didn't quite understand that. I wonder if they were trying to find the younger, because that was pre-VPR, I believe.
Right.
So I think they were probably trying to find that like other generation.
Yes.
And then they landed on VPR.
And I think they like sort of skewed a little too young for that time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Now
you're right.
It would have done very well, I believe, but it wasn't the right time for these remarkable shows.
Yeah. So good. Princesses Long Island is like one of my faves. Did you watch that?
I have never seen it. I got to
really
watch it.
Really great. I think the whole season, you can get the whole season for like $5 on Apple.
Oh, awesome.
Definitely watch. In terms of reality that's non-Bravo, like what are we consuming?
Oh God. I love Married at First Sight.
Uh-huh.
What else am I watching? I love, love, Love Island. An oldie but goodie, which I have to dive into, I haven't seen in a while, is Terrace House on Netflix.
Terrace House?
Yeah, it's a Japanese reality show.
Oh, wow. I should watch it.
It's great. It's like they pick sort of like 6 people. They live in a house. They keep their phones, keep their jobs.
Okay.
And the sort of like conceit is everyone who comes to the house has a goal, whether it's like work related or relationship related, and they sort of state their goals at the beginning pretty casually.
Yeah.
And once they accomplish the goal, it's sort of unsaid, but then you leave the house and then a new person comes in.
Oh,
and
that's such a cool
premise.
And they
are there for like 5-6 months. It's great.
Oh, wow. It's on Netflix.
Yes.
I've never even heard of it. I am absolutely going to watch that.
It's really good.
Are you selling Sunset Person?
Oh, yeah. Big selling Sunset. Cannot wait.
Yes, new season comes out in 2 weeks. Yep. They released a trailer yesterday. Did you see that?
I have not. I'm too excited.
It was fine. I was on the phone with my friend Spencer before we were recording. We were talking about it, and okay. he was like, "What'd you think of the trailer?" And I was like, "I mean, the girls are always giving nothing, but that's why we love them." So I'm like, "It was a trailer of just the same shit." I mean, it's weird because just kind of nothing happens, and Christine tries too hard to make anything happen. And I'm like, "Girl, like the show kind of works without anything happening." So
exactly,
we don't need you working so hard. She's where my love for reality, like, I like question it, because I'm like, I can't handle people like that who work so hard for the camera. And that's my issue with VPR right now, is because I cannot look at LVP like on my screen very much anymore. She's so hungry for like the next big scandal on her show. Mm-hmm. I mean, every scene is so like, And
she also is like more prominent this season in the drama.
Yeah. Yeah. She's so involved, and it's because she has nothing going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think anyone watched that Pets show.
No one did.
No one. I would love to see the numbers on that. Like, oh girl, no one cares. Can you hear the party that's happening outside now?
Oh, I heard a little.
I can't. I need to get out of here. By the way, while we've been recording, my downstairs neighbor called the police on me for the second time today. We have a running feud with...
What?
Oh, yeah. We have a running feud with our downstairs neighbor because he claims that we are slamming weights on his ceilings all hours of the day, like morning to night.
Are you kidding me?
So we have two dogs here who play. And so there is noise. Like, I'm not going to deny that there isn't noise. But
that's
not
abnormal noise.
We live in New York City. Like, there are sirens running outside of our window, like, every minute of every day. Like, you just get used to sound. Like, welcome to New York City. Like, and he, like, is convinced that we are, like, jumping, trying to piss him off.
Oh, my God.
So a little bit ago, we got into an altercation where he chased me out of the building and like threatened me.
What?
Yeah, oh, yep. And so, this is chaos today. What's happening in my apartment? So yeah, chased me out of the building. That was like the fifth or sixth like thing that had gone down.
Yeah.
And management was like, "You must call the police." And I was like, "I really don't want to get the police involved in this." And they're like, "Well, there's nothing we can do unless you put it in writing, like through the police."
Oh my God.
And so I was like, okay. So I do that. And he found out that we did that. So now his new tactic for bothering us is just calling the police. And the police get here and they're like, "Hey, your downstairs neighbor says you're slamming weights." And me and my roommate are like, "We just aren't." And they're like, "Yeah, I figured. Bye." They can't do anything. They could come literally five times a day and they can't do anything.
Ridiculous.
And we found out today that, there he goes. We found out today that he's calling from an anonymous line. He's like,
"We know it's you."
I'm like, "Girl, like, also, like, that doesn't help your case. Like, you don't have any, like, if you wanted to build a case against us,
why
would you be anonymous?" Like, there was another day he was hiding in the stairwell I walked down. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That happened while we were recording. My roommate texted me and was like, "Just so you know, the police are here." I'm like, "I gotta keep going. I can't be bothered."
This is, I am so sorry, because that is so crazy.
It's so crazy, and there's so many levels to it that are just like extra messed up. He's like lived in the building forever.
I was gonna ask. I was like, "I bet he has lived there for a long time, and so, feels like he owns the building."
So what I've learned is, this is so unrelated to whatever we're talking about, but I do not care. So what's interesting is his aunt passed away. He's older. He's like probably in his 60s or like late 50s. His aunt had lived in the building forever, and when she passed away, gave the apartment to him. Or maybe she didn't pass away, or maybe she moved to like out of the city. Like, there's something where she's like, they don't communicate or something anymore, and I don't know if that's actually something happened or, but he has the apartment now, and I don't believe he is on the lease.
Oh, Lord.
I think that he is like scared of getting evicted, so he doesn't communicate with like management or anyone. He's just like calling the cops. So That's
if I were him, I would cause as little chaos as possible.
Lay fucking low, bro. I don't know why you're trying to make a commotion.
Yeah. So.
Things are tough. We need Andy and a camera.
Oh my God, immediately.
Right. So we have back to Bravo a little bit. Or, well, we were not talking about Bravo, but a little bit more Bravo talk. We are doing a fun series here on the podcast for the holidays where we're going back in time and watching old Berkshires episodes for the holiday season. Felt very festive. So yes. I wanted to ask, like, are there a couple Berkshires moments that come to your mind as like just unforgettable television? Like small moments, large moments?
I would probably have to say my favorite Berkshires moment is when when Carol and Luann are texting and Luann misspells pedophile and says, sorry, I called you a pedophile. And it's just so like.
So that is so good. You're absolutely right. Is that the same season?
Funny.
Is that the same season with Jules?
Yes, yes.
So, okay, so that one, same season, another moment that's small for me is that Bethany has just called Luann like every awful name you could ever think. I can't even imagine how she recovered from that. Like, that's not even the moment I'm going to talk about, but like, Bethany's like, you're a whore, you fuck everyone, you're trash, and on camera, and somehow Luann is just like gets over it. I like, it still baffles me how she's able to do that.
Oh my God.
But she goes outside and she sits on the porch and Jules is like chain smoking on the phone with her fucking mom, who's like, your dad is in the hospital. He's not doing well. And she turns to Luann and she's like, hey Lou. And Luann's like, what? She's like, my dad's so sick. And Luann's like, I can't believe she keeps calling me a slut.
It's so funny.
And it's like, Luann, did you hear what she's saying?
Yeah, her dad's like, it's like, this is not the moment, Lou.
And Jules is like, my dad's dying.
Oh,
and she's
my
just
God.
Like, she's just like rolling over her with just like, no one wants to support me and Tom. It's like, this is an unhinged moment.
Oh, love it.
What do you think is in the air there that makes the girls go cuckoo?
I think just like it's pure cabin fever. Yeah. And it, no matter if they're there for 5 minutes or 5 days, they feel like cooped up. Yeah. And even though the house is huge, but massive. They just feel so out of control that they have no choice but to act out.
Yeah. And Dorinda, I mean, the alcohol certainly doesn't help. I mean, Dorinda shovels martinis down their throats and says, like, go.
Yes, yes.
We just watched the one with the Morgan letters, which I think is also another wild
That is
moment.
So, 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 so great.
Because
so great.
It's times like that, once again, like we were saying earlier, where you get mad about how Sonia has never had didn't have a camera on her in like the days of her. Like, wouldn't you love to have seen her on a yacht with JP Morgan? Oh,
I it's what we deserve.
I know. And the twist always to the whole Morgan thing is that they were married for like 6 years.
It's a blip on the radar of his very long life.
Yeah.
And she acts like it was 60 years.
And the way she thinks that those letters at the Morgan home are like handwritten by like the Morgan estate and like just not in, I'm like, you get that they're not real, right? Like, this house is not real.
It's so funny.
I mean, I lived in New York City longer than she was married to JP Morgan Jr. Like, I just can't, it makes my head turn upside down. But.
Oh my God.
Well, before we let you go, I guess we would be remiss not to, I know that you are still catching up on SLC, but we would be remiss not to speak about what just happened this past Sunday on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because not only did we have a cuckoo bananas episode building up to the moment where Mary is telling Whitney she needs to wear like Halloween costumes to a pasta making event as a way to like shade her. I mean, another person. Where have the cameras been?
Have the cameras? Oh my goodness! Like the fact that Mary was just out here is. I want to know what the clerk at the grocery store thinks of her when she would just roll through. Like,
absolutely,
we need accounts of how she was behaving around town.
Yeah, No, I completely agree. Like, she just, she went on Watch What Happens Live, and Andy was like, what is it like to be famous, like, in Salt Lake City? And she said to him, I don't get recognized. I don't leave my home.
Oh, my God. Makes sense, though.
Oh, my God. It totally makes sense. But, we finally got the Jen Shah arrest. Yes. Well, not the full arrest, yes, but the beginning of it. And so, in that, it ended up being so much better than I hoped, because they showed us in the beginning and I just figured that was going to be it. But like, seeing them, it's hilarious that it's only four of them. It's just Heather, Whitney, Lisa, who hates Heather and Whitney, and Jenny, who is a whole other entity within herself, because Meredith and Mary decide to like go separately.
Oh,
so just
God,
the four of them there, and they're essentially trying to have small talk while in the background of like the Nest Cam and the bus, you just see like full on FBI and Homeland Security is there.
It's like so serious.
So serious.
It's remarkable the cameras were rolling and that they allowed them to roll.
I know. I like don't know how they were able to keep that footage. And apparently, Andy said this like 1,000 times in the past couple weeks, the next episode is like one of the best in Housewives history. And that's because what they do is they film the drive from Salt Lake City to Vail, I guess it's like 8 hours, which why the fuck are we not flying at that point? I would be so mad.
Why aren't they flying?
So the drive is like 8 hours and they film the whole trip. And so as they're driving, like in the car, is like how we were that day, like getting news alerts.
Refreshing,
like
yes.
So like they just have them trapped in this moving vehicle, like for as all this news is coming out. I'm like, I can't fucking wait. Like this is amazing.
I can't wait.
Like I want the raw footage. I'm like, I would watch 8 hours of that.
Yes.
And then did you see the like the Bravo Insider clip that was going around Instagram of Mary and Meredith chatting where Meredith's in the tub?
Oh yes. Absolutely.
Like, in the tub, like waiting for her guests to arrive in Vail, literally bathing in the joy of Jen Shah's arrest.
Of Jen Shah's arrest. And I'm like, she is having the best day of her life.
She's like, I hate her so much. This makes me so fucking happy.
Oh, I love Meredith. I love Meredith.
I love her too. And I think that we have a bumpy road for her and Lisa ahead, because I don't think Lisa thought that she would be not the fan favorite. And I actually do really like Lisa for the show, because I think she is once again someone else that is just so bizarre and like unhinged that it's bizarre that we've never had a camera on her. But Meredith feels like she really could own the franchise.
She really could, and like it's effortless. So I think that she, unlike a lot of the ladies there, she doesn't try. She knows she's got it. Like it just is. It comes so naturally that you can't really compete with that.
No, not at all. I'm obsessed with her completely.
Yeah,
I love her unbothered attitude. I love all of it. But well, any other final Bravo thoughts before we let you go, Mariah?
Oh my God, I think we covered them all.
We did. I guess we didn't talk about. Any final thoughts on like this whole season of Potomac?
I thought it was great. I think Mia, I'm still warming up to her. And I think Candace needs a timeout.
Interesting. I can't figure out where I land with Candace, to be honest with you. I think she is so mean. But I also do sometimes, like, lol.
True.
She's funny.
I just, you are, sometimes just so mean, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, I know. And you are right. And I think Mia was a wonderful addition to the show. Do you really like her? Or like, are you just like, you thought she did a good
fine.
Job?
Yeah. I think that she does bring some new life to the show, but I wouldn't call her a fan favorite for me just yet.
Yeah. No, certainly not. I mean, Karen is my favorite, of course, by far, but I find that it's similar. Her entry into the show kind of reminds me of a Portia Kenya entry, where it's like they kind of get the game, but like they're entering into the show when the show is really picking up steam, like, I think we have, like, some exciting things ahead of us with her in the mix. Like, it, because, like, when Kenya and Portia entered in, like, they knew what was happening because the show was so popular by then that, like, they could kind of, like, jump in and understand the assignment a little bit. Like, we have that too with, like Yolanda. I felt like Yolanda kind of did that in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. I think that Bethany's, or I think Aviva is a great example of that. She totally got what she needed to do when she was there and more. So sometimes I think it's fun to have someone who's, like, ready to play. And that's why
As the kids say, understood the assignment.
I know. I was trying to not. I was, like, trying to walk around saying it.
It's hard to, get away from it.
Because people misuse it. I'm like, no.
All the time.
Like, Bravo, especially Bravo accounts will say, like, so-and-so understood the assignment. I'm like, this boring-ass housewife? Like,
No,
she didn't. I feel like it should be used very seldomly when it really means it. You know?
Yeah.
But, well, Mariah, thank you so much for coming on. This was a blast.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And tell everyone where they can hear you, where they can follow you, all that stuff.
Yeah, so you can hear me every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Radio Andy Channel 102 on my live show with my sister, Smith Sisters Live, where we do deep dives on pop culture stories of the week. You can follow me on Instagram at Mariah, 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 or on Twitter at Mariah, M-R-I-A-H.
Awesome. Yeah, do follow her and make sure to listen. I do feel bad that my sister wasn't here today because we do have, like, a sister bond and, like, a reality TV, like, sibling bond in the way we both have, you know, mediums with our siblings. So I love to see other siblings out there working together because my sister is my best friend, and I'm sure that yours are yours too. So and so do that, follow her, listen to her. You can follow me at @TheTomHamlet, and you can follow Kix at KixHamlet, that's C-I-X. Follow the pod at Dumpster Dive Pod, and we mentioned it briefly here when we were chatting, but make sure to check out our holiday series that starts this Monday. We are starting with we're doing some Berkshire's episodes, some other just holiday episodes. We're actually starting with season 8, episode 14 of OC, where Vicky yells on the slope at Lori that she's never had multiple partners in her life. So we're jumping in with that, and then some more holiday coverage after that. So check that out, and have a great rest of your morning, evening, night, whenever you're listening to this. And Mariah, say bye to the listeners. Bye.
Bye.